Now's the time. The person you've been looking to see is here in this meeting. Amen. He can meet your need, take care of your problem, no matter what it may be. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 1, well, the whole first part of the chapter here talks about two different things. The parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents. Both of them, I want to look at in the area of responsibility. You know, sometimes, a lot of times people preach this, and I've heard people pull out about the 10 virgins and start talking about the Holy Ghost, and not making it without the Holy Ghost, and there are people that believe that. That's not what I'm going to preach. When you read that, one of the main thoughts that we're to get, I think, from that first part of the 25th chapter is simply to be ready. I mean, no matter how you look at it, no matter how you slice it, no matter how you examine it, there's folks that get into preaching about the Holy Ghost out of it, and they're earnest in their belief, and they're dedicated to the Lord, and I'm not trying to fault them, but really the message that comes out of the first part of the chapter is one of being ready, no matter what time, no matter when or where, just to be ready, and to be ready to go, and to be ready to do whatever God wants us to do. And part of that being ready, I want to look at the area of the responsibility. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Let's stop right there. Someone gave them a lamp, Sister Karenita. Because they knew that at some point in the near future, they would have a need to do something with that lamp. And so now they have the responsibility of taking care of that lamp. And I'm not going to try to get into any symbolism of what it may mean. Let's just take it for just the face value of as it's read. Let's take it as the parable that it's written as. And let's think, whatever the situation may have been, the bridegroom was going to come. They were going to be asked to go out to meet that bridegroom, so that whoever it was who had those lamps knew that each and every one of them would need one. And once they got that lamp in their hand, then they were to come that awesome responsibility of taking care of it and making sure that when it come time to fulfill its purpose in their life, and when the opportunity came knocking at their door, and when it was time for them to do something with the situation, that they had fulfilled their responsibility and took care of that lamp. So now they've all got one. There's 10 of them. All the ladies have a lamp now. 5 of them were wise, verse 2 says, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, throw them all together now. They all slumbered and slept. Now, there's not any kind of laurels to be heaped on the wise for not sleeping, because they were all slumbering. There's not any pats on the back to those that stayed awake, because none of them did. They were all sleeping, and no one's saying anything about it being wrong for them to be sleeping. But when the time was come and sleep began to fall on their eyes, they all slumbered, they all slept. But at midnight, verse 6 says, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And now is the time when their responsibility starts to kick in. And now is the time when they all 10 are roused from their sleep. And now is the time when they all realize just what they had those lamps for. Because the night was dark and you wasn't able to see without that light. And now the cry's gone forth. The bridegroom is there, and the very thing that they've waited for, the very job that they had to do, is before them now. And up they go. All those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered, and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. They thought they were taking care of the responsibility. They thought they were going to get by just by the skin of their teeth, so to speak. But when they came back from buying that oil, the door was already shut. That opportunity had already passed them. And what they were to do with it, they hadn't the chance to do it anymore. And now they just start knocking on the door and asking them to let them in also. But the person that was inside on the other side of the door called out to them and said, I know you not. Why? Because they had laxed in their responsibility to take care of the lamps. Somebody gave it to him, Brother Rob. Said, you're going to have to take care of this. This is something you'll be needing in the future. What are you going to do with it now? And when the time come for them to use it, there was no oil. Let's go on and read the next parable. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 and went and digged it in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained 5. I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And these are the words that you and I are looking to hear. This is the passage of Scripture where you and I are wanting to get our hope from and to get our inspiration from. Because here, after he comes back, after he's been gone on his journey, is where he looks to those servants. And verse 21 says unto them, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Man, don't that make you want to shout? Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Don't you want to hear that said to you someday? I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Man, don't that want to be your epitaph? Don't that want to be something that the Lord says to you? This is where we get that. In this story right here is where we hear those words said by that ruler to his servants. Lord, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He thought he'd done good just by hanging on to the one that he had. And if you go through and read that story, I've thought about this a lot of times. One fellow's got 5, he gets 5 more, that's 10. One fellow's got 3, he gets 3 more, if I'm not mistaken. Is that many he had, or was it 2? He's got 2. One fellow's got 2, so he gets 2 more, that's 14. Now the fellow comes back, and he's got 1, and he still has that talent, Brother Pete. He's kept a hold of it, he's put it in a place where he knew where it would be. But so now the ruler has 15. When he started out with just 5, 2, and 1, when he started out with 8, he has 15 now. The most he was ever going to get, Brother Gary, was 16. If this fellow would have doubled his money just like all the rest of them did, so to speak, he would have just had 1 more. But that 1 more was enough for the Lord, for this Lord of these servants to look down in displeasure on this last fellow. Just that 1, because the fellow said, Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My, what a difference. My, what a difference in what this one fella did and compared to what the other two fellas did. My, what a difference in the outcome from what this one fella had compared to what the other two fellas had. Thinking with in all of his heart that he had done what he was the best that he could have done, but he was given something, and along with anything that we get comes responsibility. Can you say amen? Along with anything that we get comes the responsibility. We talked about it with the 10 virgins. We talked about the responsibility that they had with those lamps. No matter what it is, as we grow older, you and I are handed responsibility time and time again. And this all depends what we do with what we've been given. Everybody got one? Ohio driver's license. It's right there in my billfold. They let me drive on the roads right out in front of the church here. They like me to drive out there. I don't speed. I'm nice. I mean, when it's snowing, I go even slower. And when it's slick, I don't try to crowd people. I mean, I'm a good driver. But when I turned 16 and got a hold of this card, Brother Setzer, it wasn't just all privilege after privilege after privilege. It wasn't just all joy and fun and do what I wanted to do and take off where I wanted to take off. But there came with that a certain amount of responsibility. That's in so many words. You can look at that as allowing people to get behind the wheel of a weapon of mass destruction when you get behind the wheel of a car. And with the speeds that cars can attain and with the things that they're able to do and as fast as they're able to go, there is a lot of responsibility that comes with a driver's license. And it's not just privilege and it's not just fun. Just because I know how to drive it doesn't mean I can take off out here and make a left turn and head up on the wrong side of the road. Some have done it. I see them do it right out here at this church parking lot. But that doesn't mean we're allowed to do that, Brother Sexton, because there's responsibility that comes with every privilege given. There's responsibility that comes with every blessing that's given. And as we grow older and as we receive some of these things, we need to be mindful of the responsibility that comes with it. 10 virgins had a lamp handed to them. 10 virgins had a lamp given to them that was going to have a purpose and was going to have a use. And they knew good and well that it needed to be able to function well when that time came. And only 5 of them. Why? Because the other 5 didn't take care of the responsibility of having a lamb. They didn't take care of the responsibility. They thought it was just a privilege, but it was more than just that. Just like the driver's license is just a privilege, but is also a responsibility. There's another card in here somewhere. I guess I keep it in here. Yeah? Boy, look at there. Minister's credentials. Look here. This certifies that Reverend, nobody calls me Reverend, Rob. It's on that card, though. Reverend Mark Barker. I mean, minister's credentials. Ain't that something? Boy, is that just a privilege. Boy, is that just something that I could just throw back my shoulders and say, look what I've got in my billfold. No, not at all. But with every bit of privilege comes also responsibility. That's nothing more than my job that the Lord has saw fit to call me to do. It's no different than your job may be. Mine might be a little bit easier to define. Brother Collins might be a little bit more easy to define because they stand behind a pulpit and because we see preachers exhort and bring forth the Word of God. So it might be a little bit easier to define, but we have no less a responsibility or no greater a responsibility than any one of His children that's been given a job to do. Whether it might be witnessing, whether it might be soul winning, whether it might be intercessory prayer, whatever it might be, your job might not be as easy to tuck into your billfold as mine is, but you still have a job and you still got a responsibility. And the Lord's going to come by someday and say, what did you do with that which I gave you? What did you do with the awesome responsibility that I gave you when I called you to be a Christian and when I called you to be a child of God? What have you done with that awesome responsibility? It might not have the title, minister's credentials, a big deal. Now, that doesn't mean your job's less important than anybody else's. You're the only one God's depending on to do it. There's certain things, Brother Burns, that you could do for, I'll never get close to doing the things you can do for God. Because they're Brother Burns' jobs. They're his responsibility. I mean, tailor-made to fit his personality. Tailor-made to fit just exactly who God made him to be. Tailor-made just so you can get it done and get it done better than anybody. And one of these days, God's going to come by and ask each and every one of us, did we do the job? Did we fulfill the responsibility? Did we dot all the I's? Did we cross all the T's? Did we think it was all just privilege? Or did we do something with it that was responsible? God's going to come by and ask each and every one of us that. And we need to be responsible. Matthew chapter 27. We're just about done. Matthew chapter 27. The scene you've read many times. Pilate doing his best to figure out how to handle this situation. Pilate doing his best to figure out what to do with Jesus. Upset. I mean, I can't imagine in my own mind what he must have went through, realizing who was standing before him. Because I think he did realize. I think he did realize. I think he knew exactly who was standing before him. He wasn't going to be as bold as to stand up and say that he was going to espouse this man and believe in him and follow him. But I think he knew good and well that he was looking at the Son of God. I think he knew good and well that this was an innocent man. This was an innocent Son of God that had been brought up before him. And what in the world was he going to do now with his situation that had dropped into his lap? And finally, as the story winds on and his wife has the dream and tells him, says, I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But verse 20 says, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And you know how a mob can be and how people can be incited into just, supposedly intelligent people. Just go to Oxford and you'll see supposedly intelligent people just acting a fool because they got just into that mob mentality and we got into that irresponsible behavior that sometimes mobs can get into. And that's exactly what was going on here. And those chief priests and those elders sneaking all around and inciting that riot and getting people all worked up. They knew they had Pilate right where they wanted him. They knew they had Jesus right where they wanted him. And they were building up just as much as they could and getting all the people flustered. So the governor answered and said unto them, whither of the twain will ye that I should release unto you? And with one voice, I'm just adding that, they all said Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. Not even a choice. Verse 22, and probably the words that haunted him to his death, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is... He asked it in a fevered pitch of emotion. He asked it when the crowd was thronged all around. He asked it when I don't believe there could have been any courtroom scene any more dramatic any time in history than Matthew chapter 22. That's when Pilate had to ask that question. You and I might have to ask it tonight. You and I might have to ask it in the morning. We've had just an example tonight of how quick we're going to have to face these questions and how quick we're going to have to face these responsibilities. Why, how are we going to answer that? You and I have got the same question facing us. You and I have got the same situation looking us in the face. And we've got to say, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? He's given so much to us. He's blessed us so much. He's lifted us out of the miry clay and set our feet on a solid rock. He's forgave us. He's lifted us up and brought us into heavenly places. But what about the responsibility that goes with those privileges? What about the job that we've got to do now that he's handed so much to us? What are we going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What are we going to do when he comes knocking on our door? When that Lord that reaps where he sowed not and gathers where he strawed not, when that Lord comes back and says, what are you doing with what I gave you? What's our answer going to be? Oh, God, I shouted. You should have seen me shout. Oh, Lord, I ran the pews. You should have seen me ran the pews. God, I was dancing in the Spirit all over the place. That's wonderful. But did we get the King's business done? Did we get the job that he sent us to do? Did we get that done? Or are we going to stand there empty-handed with nothing more than the salvation that he gave us? He wants our salvation and somebody else's. He wants our changed life, and He wants us to bring some other changed lives with us. He wants our victories and our blessings, and He wants us to bring some other people that we helped to get their victories and we helped to get their blessings. He wants the cart to be full. He don't want us to come back with just that little bit that He gave us to start with. That's God's seed that He planted in your life and in mine, that He planted in your life, Rob. All these folks over here we call new converts, since you guys have been saved, I've watched others come in the door and go back out, and you're still here. The new converts are still here. I'm going to try my best to quit calling them new converts. They've already outlasted some. They've already done better than some others that have came in. But you've got God's blessing. You've got God's privilege. You've also got God's responsibility on your life to do something with it, and to be able to face Him someday and say, God, I fulfilled what You wanted me to do. And then He'll look at us and say those wonderful words. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, my good and faithful servant. Isn't that what we want to hear? Isn't that the words that we want to hear ringing in our ears? Thou good and faithful servant. The dichotomy of the other fella. The awful end. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Why? He didn't do the Lord's work. There was a job that he had to do that he didn't fulfill. I don't want to be that way. Your job's different. My job's different. But it's tailor-made for you. And it's tailor-made to fit your hand just like a glove. Let's let the Lord find us faithful. Doing His service. Picking up the banner and running with it. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Let's everybody find a place to pray.